Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we thank you for your word, and we pray that it may cause the fire and flame of your Spirit to burn bright within us. Give us hearts and minds that are challenged and ready to go out and to share this flame of your Spirit with all that we meet. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I always feel like I should give a medal when somebody, a layperson, reads Acts chapter 2. That's one of the most difficult passages with all of the different names, and so I'm always grateful when somebody else does it. In 1981, Universal Studios called up the M&M Mars Company and asked for permission to use M&Ms in a new film they were making. Now, this was and is a fairly common practice, product placement. And it deals, and these kinds of deals provide filmmakers with some extra cash and or promotion opportunities. And in this case, the director was looking for cross-promotion. He'd use the M&Ms and Mars could promote the movie. The Mars brothers said, no. The film was E.T., the extraterrestrial, directed by Steven Spielberg. The candy was to be used by a little boy to lure E.T. into his house. So, Universal said, okay. And they went to Hershey's. And they cut a deal to use a new product of Hershey's called Reese's Pieces. Initial sale of Reese's Pieces had been light. But when E.T. exploded on the box office, sales of E.T.'s favorite candy also exploded. Sales tripled in 2 weeks and continued climbing for months after that. According to the Hershey's executive who approved the movie tie-in, it was the biggest marketing coup in history. Now, one company said no, and I'm sure they regretted it later. What we say yes and no to in our lives greatly impacts our lives. Now, granted, it may not always have the impact of the E.T. story, so to speak. But it makes a difference, whatever we say yes to or no to. And this idea of what we say yes to and no to has often intrigued me, as I'm sure many of you already know, since I preached on this a number of times. Our lives are a long series of decisions. We come up to a V in a road, yes, no. We make a decision, we take that road. We come to another decision, yes, no. We make a decision, that we take that road. And it's one decision after another. Last week, I shared with you through the kids. You see, it's not always just about the children. It's about you too, because I know you're listening in. And I shared with them about the fact that we got our dog Jacques back after 4 months. And the only reason we got him back is because a series of yes decisions was made on the part of different people. First of all, if a dog even has the power to say yes or no, Jacques had to decide he was going to survive the month of January with all the snow and the hard weather because he was on the run for a month. Someone had to make the decision to call animal control, whether it was a cop or a neighbor, I don't know, somebody where they saw him running free. Somebody walking through the Edison shelter had to make the decision and say, I want that dog. And then when a friend told them 3 months later that he thought that Jock matched the dog of a missing dog flyer that we had sent to the Middlesex County SPCA, that couple then had to make the decision, we will call the former owners. And then, now this may sound cold, but if you remember, Jacques was abused for the first 4 years of his life. And as I easily put it, he was a head case. He had serious issues with people, and it's a struggle to deal with. So when we got the call and realized it was him, Barbara and I had to make the decision, yes, we're going to go get him. And we did very quickly. Yes and no. Two words that can change the course of a dog's life or the course of history. And nowhere is this more evident than in our passages from Ezekiel and Acts. In Ezekiel, we hear the question, Mortal, can these bones live? Yes? No. Now, to you, it may sound like Ezekiel's answer was more of a maybe. When he said, oh Lord God, you know. But implicit in that, oh Lord God, you know, is the idea that with God there is an opportunity for a yes. An opportunity for a yes that Ezekiel may not have recognized. But he was willing to let God decide. With God, there is the possibility that Israel could and would rise again after the exile. And it happened. And then we come to our Acts passage. Now, Dr. Fred Anderson of the Madison Avenue Presbyterian Church, in a sermon on this passage several years ago, said, have you ever asked yourself what would have happened had they scattered into the night? Just as they had scattered on that night of his arrest? Think of it. All that we know about Jesus would have been equally scattered, then atomized only to evaporate and be lost forever. Vanish like Camelot. That is what was at stake. To keep that from happening required a simple act of obedience. Staying put in Jerusalem. Consider what their lack of obedience would have meant. Isn't it astonishing what a simple act of obedience can mean? The simple act of obedience that Dr. Anderson's talking about is saying yes to Christ telling them to stay put in Jerusalem right before he's ascended until the advocate comes. And you know, really, in the end, they had to say it a bunch of times. They had to say yes to come back together after Jesus was crucified. They could have scattered then. They had to say yes in order to stay in the upper room until the advocate came. And then when the advocate, the Holy Spirit, came, they had to say yes to leaving the upper room and going out. I mean, after all, they saw what had happened to Jesus after all that he said and did. What did it get him? A cross. They knew the dangers of continuing the work of Jesus in their lives. But they said yes. And they did it. And to me, this is when they became true disciples of Jesus. Before that, we call them disciples, but really they were just followers. They followed this man, whom they thought had some pretty decent ideas. But it was when they said yes, we will continue his work and his ministry, they became disciples. And I'm not talking about just the 12. But there were other people in that room as well. Look at the front of your bulletin. I love that particular picture. I wish I could have blown it up. It got real pixelated when you blew it up. But it's not just the 12 as most Pentecost artwork has. It's a picture of the 12 plus men and women and children. They're all there and they're all getting the Holy Spirit poured upon them. They all became disciples. They all said yes. And they said yes to living the life of Christ no matter what it meant for them. And it's from this idea that we get the word discipleship. A word that a long time ago fell out of favor in the mainline church. We just kind of said, that's how those far-right Christians talk about it. We don't really want to use that word. But in recent years, recent decades, we said, we need to reclaim that. And we're reclaiming that word, discipleship. In its simplest form, discipleship means to choose to live your life as Jesus did. To love the outcast, to talk to people about God and what God wants for them, to stand up to the powers that hurt others, to talk with and stay close to God. And all those other things that Christ said and did. Discipleship is choosing to do all of that without thinking about what it means for us personally in terms of our own physical lives and being. The disciples displayed discipleship when they went out from the upper room and began telling people about Jesus. Hey, we're not drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. Come on, folks. We don't start that early. The disciples showed discipleship when they healed a lame man in the precincts of a temple and started telling people that, hey, it's not because of us this man was healed, it's because of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you and the leaders of this temple killed. And then when the leaders of the temple were walking through and hearing this preaching in their own temple, they hauled him in. And Peter said the same thing to them. That's discipleship. The Church of Jesus Christ is here today because people throughout history have stood and aligned their lives and their speech with the one they called Christ. They said yes. And some have paid with their lives, as we all know. And the church still needs people like that. Still, it needs people who will claim the Spirit that has been given and live lives in the Spirit of Christ and make a difference. To say yes to all that can and should be. Several weeks ago, when our leaders of our New Beginnings program from our church joined 12 others to hear about or to get the plan for the process from the national leader, Phil, one of the things that he did early on was to share with us trends in the church today. I mean, what is happening in successful churches? He said, people are not coming to church anymore to be seen in church or to serve on a committee. People are not coming. I don't even know if people are coming to church anymore because, as Ann Andrews used to say for years to young people, if you want to find a mate, go to church. I don't even know if they're coming to church for that anymore. Rather, he said, they come to church to live out what Jesus said and did. They come to be engaged in the continuing ministry of the one they and we call Lord. The new trend in the church is not about size. We used to think that the bigger the church, the more successful the church, that must mean that the ministry was really good, that God was blessing their ministry. This new trend is not saying that, does not believe that. The new trend says the church is about reaching out and doing the work of Christ. The word used for this is missional outreach or missional ministry. Our New Beginnings program is about determining what it is and who it is that God is leading us to say yes to. Or to share God's Spirit with. However, to do that, we need to be sure we have people who said yes to Jesus and to God. If we cannot be disciples, if we cannot for our own personal selves claim the fire of the Spirit for our lives, then we can't claim it for this church or any other church. Church is not about getting people in to pay the bills. It's about getting people in because it connects them with a way that they can live out their faith in God. The question, I think, is, will we say yes to that kind of ministry, that kind of church? And if we do, I believe God will help us make it happen in whatever wonderful way God might choose to do that. If nothing else, that is one thing that Jacques' return has reminded me of. When we lost him on January 14th, for 2 months, we did everything. We made up flyers on our computers. We tacked them to telephone poles, put them in laundromats and quick stores and all of this stuff. We spent $160 to get his name and picture and stuff and information on lostmydoggy.com. And they robocalled neighbors and they sent stuff out to vets and shelters. We settled a bunch of times, rode up and down streets in that cold January weather with our windows down going, "Jock, Jock," trying to see if we could find. We did every empirical thing we could do. And frankly, the last month or more, I'd given up. It wasn't happening. But there were some people who were quietly telling us, "We're still praying for Chuck." And I've come to realize we can do all we can, but we have to leave room for the Spirit of God to do the work as well. We can trust God. I recall the saying, and I've shared this with you time and time before, "Pray to God, but row towards shore." The rowing might get you close enough, and God may finish the task. It's not up to always just to us. The Spirit, it's also up to the Spirit of God working in our lives and working in the lives of others and in our midst. It's about what we can and will say yes to as much about as what we can do. We must never forget that God's Spirit is working in our midst. That we are living not in a spiritual vacuum, but in a world that's pregnant with the Spirit of God all around us, all through us. And that Spirit gives us the power to say yes, to live out the yes in each and every moment of our lives. The Spirit gives us the power to be disciples of Jesus Christ, each and every moment. So my question for you today, have you said yes? Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Amen.